Okay, we're back on live. I was going to continue playing the pods, but I got a message from Martin, and we're going to come on and talk about a few things. So, welcome to the show once again, Martin Farrell.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how are you doing
How's
tonight?
it? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Talk about a few things. Some things I brought up earlier. Some things that I've seen on stream earlier on. I'm going to say hello to lads. There's Ian and John and who is that guy? Matt Farrell. Another Paddy. Again, who is that? Who is that guy? Super big bad man. I don't know who you are.
Who is that bloke? Who
Who
is
is
that
that guy?
bloke?
But John McCann said post earlier on, and it was about one of the bankers. No, again. Can I ask the people what the sound like? For I'm getting a lot of reverb in my earpiece. I don't know
Are
why.
you getting some more reverb?
Yeah.
I had to bring you up because you're quite low.
That's why I was.
Oh, just go ahead and speak into your microphone, Martin. I'll lower you
Yeah,
back
one.
down.
Yeah.
Are you still getting it?
One, two. No. Well, a slight bit, but not much.
Yeah, just go ahead and speak up it.
Yeah. Anyway. John McCann pointed out a thing today, a thing earlier on in the chat, that one of the bankers from Anglo-Irish Bank, one of these infamous or infamous banks, I should say, from Ireland, which not one citizen that I could even talk to had anything got to do with this bank. Not one. But we had to bail them out to the tunes of billions of pounds or euros. Billions. So how had the Irish people got any relation to this bank is beyond me.
Well, I don't
Sorry,
believe,
John. Oh, sorry, Stephen.
I don't believe it has anything to do with having relationships with banks or having anything to do with anything. It's just the fact that people all over the world, whether it's Ireland or America, they worship government and they worship the banking system, and they believe the political rhetoric of too big to fail.
I think the people of Ireland discovered that to their indebtedness, because we ended up for every man, woman, and child paying. I think somebody mentioned 33,000 euros per head. Now it could be a lot more. I think it is a lot more, and we're going to be paying that. Our grandchildren are going to be paying that for the mistakes of our governments.
Your fourth great grandchildren are going to be paying that and won't be able to
Yeah,
pay that.
exactly. Yeah,
They'll just
but
be
then
paying interest on it.
we have the stupidity of this government that has a tax account to avail of by Apple Corporation, and the European government has ruled on this and has stated that the Apple Corporation owes Ireland 13 billion. And he won't go for it. They're actually going to court not to take it. Now, what are the court? Does that make sense to you, Stephen?
No, not a bit.
Seriously, they're actually going to court not to take these monies. Because what I was reading last week, they were stating that if they took monies and then other countries discovered that they owed monies, they're going to come after Ireland instead of the Apple company. And I'm still sitting back. So hold on a minute. The European Court has ruled that this company owes Ireland 13 billion. This would solve an awful lot. Well, it wouldn't solve an awful lot of issues in this country because it'd just be squandered. But with the biggest homeless crisis that has ever seen hit Ireland, this country, well, you know what I'm saying? The health crisis, we have crisis after crisis in this country. And this government is woeful, to say the least. Every government for the last, I was going to say for the last, I will stop that last. Every government in this country is woeful. They're constructed by brown envelopes, Stephen. Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
Where you as lobbyists in the United States, we have the brown envelope situation.
Ah, yes,
Yes.
the little note stuck in the brown envelope.
With the cash.
Yes.
But the lobbyists in America, it's legal to lobby senators and so forth and give them X amount of money, and we're going to give it to charity and so forth. We're going to do marvelous things with this money and sign her off and even get tax back and the fecking thing. Here in Ireland, you get a brown envelope and it could be packed full of money. You just ask somebody a question, and if they want to bring it up in the dole, just pay for it. That's just the way it works. If you're looking for planning permission, just pay for it. Why go through all the paperwork? Just pay somebody you like and blah, blah, blah. He'll talk to his mate and there you go, and I'll meet you down in the pub. And that's the way it works in this country. It was said many years ago, there was a kind of phrase. It was called meeting at the pump policies or politicals. I might be saying that a little bit wrong, but that's what was coined as.
Well, you know, it's the same all over the world, Martin. You mentioned if somebody wants something done over there in Ireland, you just hand them a note with money, hand them a And then an envelope with money and a little note in there. And almost the same over here, except maybe they don't use envelopes and notes. They just shake hands and have lunch or dinner, whatever the case is, and discuss it openly.
It's actually legal over there.
Yeah.
Like you have the senator's office, and then you have the lobbyist office. They're probably, it could be next door to one another.
Uh-huh.
In Capitol Building.
I'm sure they are.
It's crazy. But it's a case of who's bought and paid for. That's really what we're saying here. It's a case of who's bought and paid for, and that's how you get the work done. Yeah. That's how you guys are bill passed. That's how we get plan permission passed here in this country, and so forth. It's just money talks.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same way over there in Ireland or the UK or whatever, but over here in America, the Congress and the Senate and the White House and whoever they choose, their best friends, their benefactors or their supporters or whatever, they are allowed to profit on insider information.
Mm.
And it is illegal, you know, in air quotations, illegal for us little peons to be able to do that because we're not in the club. And if you're not in the club, you don't get any perks. You don't get the profit on insider information.
Mm. The last person I heard saying that was George Carling.
And yeah,
he said, we are not in the club.
You're not in the club.
Yeah, absolutely. But what's happening in this country at the minute, it's disheartening, Stephen. It really is disheartening because it's crumbling. And I don't think people realize that. It is crumbling. The health service is crumbling. It really is crumbling. Everything is crumbling in this country.
Hopefully it falls soon, right?
Well, hopefully the government falls soon.
We
have people homeless in this country in the streets now. I think the last, it was up to nearly 9,000 men, women, and children homeless, right? Homeless now. And I mean sleeping in the streets and so forth, right?
There's over 9,000 in medium-sized cities over here.
I think there's well into nearly 300,000 people homeless in America.
Oh, I believe it's more than that. It's in the millions, if I'm not mistaken.
It could be. You know, that's the figure I was quoted, but it could be more than that. But then this government, rather than build homes for these people, they can go out and spend $2 million to one hotelier to put a couple of families up for a year. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. This government can pay a hotelier, say, to put four families up for a year at the cost of $1 million, whereas they could build four homes less for that, you know.
I guess it's not as high as I thought it was. And it's not as high as you thought it was either. This one little website here claiming that it's 564,000 homeless in the U.S.
Well, the one I read was 230-odd. That's why I was giving it 250. But look, GDP over here. You don't believe everything you read, you know?
Correct, yeah.
You don't believe anything you read out of the government, you know? Definitely not.
Oh, I don't believe anything. Especially not from government or media. Zero.
Like this government over here is telling us that we're getting back into profit.
And that comes from George Carlin, too. That comes from George Carlin also, Martin. He says two rules he lives by. Believes nothing that his government or the American media tells him.
Absolutely, yeah. That's absolutely. Believe nothing to tell you because it'd probably be lies anyway.
Well, you know, I've said it for a long, long time, Martin. How many times do you have to believe a compulsive liar before you just stop listening to him? What's the number? Is it 5, 25, 500 times, 1,000 times? Yeah, I would bet you, Martin, I bet you £1,000 that everyone in the American government or any government for that fact, Irish, UK, American, they could come out on camera, all of them, and they could say, we've lied to you 1,000 times. We are admitting 1,000 lies to you, but we're not going to lie anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the people would buy it.
Absolutely, yeah. You're 100% right, Stephen. 100% right. It's unbelievable fact, but that is a fact. That is a fact.
Uh-huh.
And it's called the sheep syndrome.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the sheep will always follow, you know. It's the likes of you and I and the likes of John McCann and the rest of the crew here on PIR trying to wake people up But there is some people you just can't wake up. And I was told many years ago, for that person, you just have to walk away.
Yeah.
Because that person just thinks you're absolutely mentally unstable for wanting of a better word, a better wording. And that's a fact. They think you are mentally unstable for saying facts.
Yeah.
That's been proven right.
Yeah.
No way. And you say, yes way, it's been proven. No way. And that's it. You just have to walk away, you know. That was one issue anyway. John McCann brought up tonight, the British government and another banker getting away with murder, so to speak. But the people in Ireland, we know this at this stage, that there's nobody going to jail for these crimes. We have a serious issue here with tracker mortgages as we speak, and people kill themselves over this, and houses were repossessed. It goes on and on and on big time, and I can guarantee you, not one banker will go to jail for it. Not one banker. Not one. We bailed them out to the tune of billions, but I can guarantee you, not one banker will go to jail. And I'm telling you that now, and this is 31st, is it? Maybe it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not one banker will go to jail in Ireland for this.
Right.
Yeah. I said in a post, a previous post a couple of weeks ago, I think we should all move to Iceland, because Iceland has the right attitude towards these bankers. They feckin' jail them. So it's given an example for other bankers coming in. You do it again, we're just going to jail you. We bailed out a bank here for the tune of billions, Bank of Ireland. Bank of Ireland, we paid out billions. The people, it wasn't the government, it was an airbag. We paid the Bank of Ireland billions of euros. He brought a new guy in from England, I think it was. Could have been Wales or Scotland, I don't know. He was over that quite a lot. And he gave him a salary of 849,000 euros a year. We bailed him out and he walks away with a salary. Or he has that salary a year. That's, you can't make this stuff up. And he turned around and said, okay, he's worth it. How is any man worth that money a year? 849,000 euros a year. For what? It is unbelievable when kids are homeless on the streets of Ireland today, where you see the likes of Ken Smollan over in Offaly, driving around every evening, giving out food parcels. On his own steam, by the way. He's not getting any money for this. Giving out food parcels. It's 2017. It's the 20th century. And Ireland still sees people giving out food parcels. People are still homeless. Does people not see this? Are these people immune to this? Well, I have a PlayStation at home and I have three televisions in the house and two bathrooms and
you know, Martin,
we have three cars and feck the rest. That's what I see.
I've got a suspicion that there are a lot of people all over the world that do see this and they just, well, I think that's maybe the reason why they have drinking problems and drug problems and all of the social problems that people have. It's maybe that it does affect them and they're trying to drown it out with a drug or a drink or something else.
You were probably right, Stephen. You were probably right. You were probably right. But what kills me in this country, just this country alone, I'm very sentimental with people. I like people. I get on well with people. I talk to anybody. And anybody knows me will tell you that. I talk to anybody. I like people. But what's happening in this country as we speak was supposed to be eradicated 10 years ago by a previous government, by another torn coat. And we're still having the same problems today, 10 years later. That's the killing part. And then when they knock on our door, people, it's going to still, they're going to tell the lies again, the same lies that the last government spoke of. Yes, we're going to build so many homes, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And people will still vote this excrement in. They'll still do it, which is beyond belief.
You know,
it's beyond belief.
I posted earlier on Facebook, Martin. Let me see if I can go back to this and see if I can find the post. I don't even know if it's up on my wall yet or not. Maybe it is, maybe. No, it hasn't come up on my wall yet. But anyways, I posted something, and somebody said, you know, it was about government again. Mm. And I can't find it. It's not up on my wall.
Anyway,
but
let's talk about salary. Have you got salary over in America, Stephen?
Yes.
You have a salary?
Uh-huh.
Well, I just seen a link there from John McCann. He said he worked for a vegetable man years ago, and the salary was terrible. What that has got to do with homeless people in this country, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. And I'm not trying to belittle John.
Oh, I know what it is.
he was probably thinking, what do you think it meant, Stephen?
I don't know.
Head of the boy. But I'm just saying, John probably sitting at home laughing. And anyway, knowing John, he probably is anyway. But anyway, one of the main reasons to come on here this evening is just to let people know about an agreement that should never have been signed. And it was signed by the British. I'm not going to say the Crown. I'm not going to be that polite. I know Vin is that polite when he says about the Holocaust, it was the Crown. No, Vincent, it was the British and their army and the Crown. So I'm not going to be that polite, not to mention the British people. But something happened between the First World War and the Second World War. And it was happened because the Jews, Stephen, we can't talk about the Jews because it's anti-Semitic. We better change the subject onto the Jews. The Jews promised Britain to bring America. Now, remember, in that era and time, there was a great Jewish population in America. A great Jewish population in America. They ran the banking systems, the loan systems. They ran most of the systems in America, which they still do, which people don't want to realize. But at that stage in our history, the Jewish community turned around and said, we will get the American people into war. They said this at a meeting, private meeting in London, where the guy called Balfour, we will get the American government into war if you sign us Palestine. Give Palestine over to us. And this guy Balfour turned around and he contemplated it with one of the Rothschilds, of course. And they said, yeah, why not? We'll give Palestine to the Jewish community after the war. Now, it took them from 1948, 49 to get that community, but it was still there. That was still an agreement made. My point being, who in God's earth gave the British the right to give away another country? Who? We know from history they invaded India and China and numerous other countries around the world with this feckin' empire shit. You know, the British Empire. Who gave them the right to give this country to the Zionists? Nobody. Not one single person. One stroke of a pen by this guy gave it to the Zionist Jewish people. And now, what have we got over there? A moral zone. An apartheid Zionist
genocide.
Country.
Genocide.
Genocide. It's absolutely worse than South Africa ever was. It's 10 times worse than South Africa ever was. I had a brother living in South Africa at the time of apartheid. And he told me, what's happening in Israel now with the Palestinian people is 10 times worse than what was happening in South Africa at that time. There was a young girl killed in the last 24 hours, I believe, a 13-year-old girl. There was a 17-year-old girl killed in the last 3 days. This 13-year-old girl was killed in the last 24 hours. A guy in a wheelchair went to see was she okay. He was pushed off his wheelchair. Now, it's not only that. The situation gets much worse when you realize that the Israeli army puts a barricade around this child and doesn't let an ambulance in for X amount of hours or minutes until they know the child has died and then lets the ambulance in. This is one cruel state. It's not even a state. It's not, Israel is not a state by any means. We cannot call it a state by any means. It's Palestinian land and they're the occupiers. They are the occupiers 100%. And for the life of me, I do not understand, Stephen, why the rest of the world and the governments stand back and turn a blind eye. I can understand America, because America is Israel's bitch. I can understand that. And I'm sorry because you're American. But you have to admit to yourself, America is Israel's bitch to give them $38 billion this year for arms and equipment for no other reason but to bomb the Palestinian people. Israel killed 7 people in the last 12 hours in Gaza. 7 Palestinians in Gaza in the last 12 hours. And when people turn around and say, well, if Israel is provoked, they have a right to retaliate. How can you provoke this so-called state with nuclear weapons and their arm to the teeth with children with stones? Explain that. You just can't explain it.
No, there is no explanation.
There is no explanation. They killed over 2,000 children so far in the last 10 years. They've actually have nearly 500 children in jail as we speak. 500 children. Some of them as young as 8, 9, 10 years of age. Children for throwing stones. They are trying to break the will of the Palestinian people. That's exactly what Israel is trying to do. And until the world comes out and condemns this situation that's happening over there,
Wow, the world.
People have said to me on this station, would you not be more confident and stay at home and say that politics is at home? So hold on a minute. This affects every one of us on the planet. If the Israeli government is allowed to get away with this, what's next?
Uh-huh, yep.
You do agree with me. Of course you do agree with me.
Yep, yep.
Any normal man, woman, and child would agree with me.
Yeah, I found that post.
Sorry, Stephen, go ahead.
No, I found that post from earlier. I asked the question, why do we stay loyal to government even when they don't deserve it? And somebody answered with, we have to. That's how bad it is.
What was that post in the beginning, Stephen?
The question is, why do we stay loyal to government even when they don't deserve it? And somebody answered, we have to. We have to stay loyal to government.
Because we don't really. We know that. You don't know. I know.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It's that bad. People worship. Well, government is the new... is a new religion, as well as science is a new religion, and celebrity is also a religion.
Unfortunately, you're right with the celebrity part. Unfortunately, I have to say that. When you look at this program, these people, let me give you an example. I've never watched it, but by the way, what the fuck are they called? The Kardashians. Is that the name?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Who are these people? Who are they?
They're nobody.
I don't, you know these what I mean?
These girls' father was a lawyer that helped O.J. Simpson get out from being charged with murder.
And all of a sudden they're famous.
Yeah.
What is going... Well, thank God I don't watch TV. Thank God I don't watch TV. And look, that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anything more on TV because if you want me cursing and ranting and raving, get me on TV. I mean, don't get me on TV. Get me talking about TV. But getting back to Israel's situation, it is sickening, Stephen, to see what's happening over there. And it's not only Israel. It's sickening to see what America is doing in Syria as well. Matter of fact, look, let's be blunt about this. It's sickening to see what America is doing around the world. Let's say it like it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Countries in Africa, you know, they blew the ass of Libya because Gaddafi wanted to do the gold dinar. There's no, like, we know that. We know that. But the normal Joe soap on the road doesn't know that. They wanted to keep the petrodollar, right? Gaddafi didn't want to keep the petrodollar, and that's why he was killed. It's as simple as that. There's no other reasoning behind that.
Well, they didn't have a Rothschild bank in Libya either.
And that's another reason. They didn't have a Rothschild bank either. And neither has North Korea, by the way. You know. And the reason they're still in Afghanistan, in my mind, is because the CIA can control the crops of opium over there and make their own monies and have their own little private wars together. Let's play soldiers together and have our own funding. Would you agree with that one?
Uh-huh.
You know, but then when you, it's all right saying these things, right? But then when you look a little bit deeper into these things and you see the hurt and pain that's been done to the women and children, it's beyond heartbreaking. It really is beyond heartbreaking. Really is. You can get Israeli soldiers walking around with T-shirts saying, and I quote, 2 kills, 1 bullet. Do you know what that means, Stephen?
2 birds with 1 stone, yes.
Do you know what it means?
Sure. To use a government metaphor, they will sign a bill.
No, I'm going to tell you what it means, Stephen. The T-shirt states, 2 kills with 1 bullet. And it means that they killed a child and a mother, but the child was in the womb.
Pregnant. Okay, sure.
That's what it means. That's how savage these people are. That's how savage these people are. And this is supposed to be a religious country.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond words. It's beyond even thinking about what the Israelis is doing to the Palestinian people. They are blowing up schools, blowing up houses, taking their homes, leveling their crops, leveling their olive trees. Now, not only that, they have a new weapon. Do you know these high-pressure spray machines that travel through Paris lately or Belgium? Do you know the guys with the big thing in the front of the lorries?
Right, yes.
Yes, they systematically go around the outskirts of Hebron or Palestine or any villages there, and they spray all the buildings with effluent, their own effluent. Think about that, their own effluent. They spray the buildings in the windows break, they're spraying nothing but, for want of a better word, shit in the buildings, which is no longer inhabitable. This is what these people are doing. This, look, with this country, it's not a country. Why do I keep on saying that? But this rogue thing, it's not even a state, is doing to this occupied land that they seem fit to sit on is unbelievable. But the most thing that's unbelievable is why is government sitting back and saying nothing? That's what kills me. That's what really kills me. We have the UN in the last couple of days stating that they're not happy with 120 companies dealing with Israel. But will they put any sanctions on them? That's the thing. Will they? You know, because you might have... I played a thing here loads and loads of times with Tommy Tiernan, a comedian. And all he says is, fuck, 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 fuck. And he, at the end of it, he says, that's word for word, as Benjamin Netanyahu said in the UN today when he was given sanctions.
Well,
they don't care.
You know the reason why Israel has all this power. They have probably the top intelligence service in the world. And they have all the dirt on everybody all over the world.
Yeah,
and, you know, they can tell America, they can tell the American government and whoever is in the White House, whether it's President Trump or President blah, blah. They can say, well, you know, we have this on you and we have this on you. And they can tell they can tell Cameron or whoever it is over there in the UK, we have this on you. So you're going to vote this way and you're going to give us this and you're going to give us that. Otherwise, we're going to throw you under the bus and you'll be in jail for molesting that child back in, you know, 1985.
Did you say raping that child?
Yeah.
Yes, you are 100% right. Thanks, Stephen. I'm not laughing because of the child.
Right.
I'm laughing because you're right. Because that's exactly what happens in politics. That's exactly what happens in politics. You get something on somebody else. You hold it until the time is right. You produce it, and then your job is done. Who formed ISIS, Stephen, in your opinion?
Israel.
The Mossad government.
Yeah. Well, ISIS really stands for the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service.
I was just about to say that. You're psychic, man. You're psychic. I was just about to really say that. Yeah. It does actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have the Americans backing them up.
With money. With money and arms.
With money and weapons. And they're dropping weapons here and weapons there. And you have Israel planes. I think there was one shot down the other day over Syria backing ISIS up. But you don't see that on the media, you know, because it doesn't happen. You know, that's not happening. That wasn't Israel. No way. It wasn't America. You know, they dropped arms at a sort of a field for them to get and bombs and explosives and so forth, you know. You know, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. They tried to overthrow a government, and it's probably killing them now. That Assad, is it? That's his name, yeah? It's still in Syria.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably killing them because they wanted the people to turn on the president.
Well,
and they ain't turning.
I think Assad and the people over there in Syria, they learned from Libya and Gaddafi what happened. There was a lot of the people... The vast majority of the people that was behind Gaddafi, he was helping the North African Christians. He was helping his own people. Yep. He was helping the homeless. He was helping the disabled. He was helping a lot of people. And you know, the system didn't really like that because Libya didn't have a Rothschild bank either, and he wanted to use gold for the oil currency, the oil trade currency.
Exactly.
And I think Assad and the Syrian people saw that and they learned and they thought to themselves, well, Assad is next. Our leader is next. And Assad is doing a lot of the same things that Gaddafi was doing. And I think they're doing a little bit differently over there in Syria. That's why he's still alive and he's still in power.
Mm. But I don't think many people realize, I'm not going to say this flippantly, if you know what I mean. I'm just going to say it the way I have on my brain. I don't think many people realize what a great man Saddam Hussein, not Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi was.
Gaddafi, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you got married over there, you were given 50,000 towards an apartment.
Yeah.
You got a car, gas over there.
Free education.
Free education, free healthcare. If you went to a university or you couldn't get a university place in Libya, you were sent around the world anywhere you wanted, which was paid for. And if you got a job, if you didn't get a job and you come back to Libya, you would get the same wage as the position you were looking for. Like, this was unheard of.
Uh-huh.
Plus, you'd get a royalty check every, I don't know, many 6 months, was it a year, for the oil revenue that was given out. You know, there was loads of these things going on
yeah.
in Libya.
Yes. Because
people don't know anything about it, which has been suppressed.
Plus, you know? And he was also helping people from a neighboring country, just to the south of him.
Yes. Plus, he was constructing the biggest aquifer in America to bring water to the deserts.
Yeah.
To Northern Africa.
Yeah.
Which is now destroyed by the Americans. Yay! I hate saying that, Stephen, because I know you're American, but I know you're not, you know what I mean.
No, you know, I feel the same way, Martin, so don't worry about it.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm loyal to the American country, the American people. I'm not loyal to criminals that call themselves government.
Yes, exactly. And I'd be saying the same here. I'd be actually the same here, because they are all criminal. I think all governments are criminal, Stephen.
Yes, they are.
But the funny thing is, people still voting them in.
Yep.
But there's one little thing, and I say it every, I don't know, many times I've said it now over the years. People still don't realize that they work for us. They work for us.
Well, you can't get that through people's head if they worship them.
That's a point. But I don't think anybody over here worships any of our TDs, believe me.
Well,
not at the minute.
It still goes on. It still goes on every day.
The case of which you're probably explaining to worship is if you go to a family and it goes down through the ages and say the grandfather say voted for a certain party and then it comes up and comes up. And who would you be voting for? I'm going to vote for such and such. My family always vote for that and I'll vote for again. And, you know, which is a load of bullshit in the first place. But I think that's what happens, you know.
My great grandfather voted for the Conservatives, and that's what I'm.
But you understand what I'm saying, you know? Like, you can't say that because if you go back any further, you're probably English or something.
Well,
no, you're probably Scottish, actually.
Irish or Scottish? Yeah, it's both.
Irish or Scottish? Yeah, Robinson.
I haven't been able to figure that one. I just met a cousin I met him 30 years ago, but we just had a family reunion a month back, Martin. And he did some research, and apparently some of one side of the ancestors came from the Man of Isle, or the Isle of Man. I'm sorry. Isle of Man is right.
Sorry about it, Stephen.
Yeah, what do you, you got something going on in the background there? Or?
Sorry, Stephen.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
I actually got a phone call. I'm being too loud.
Too loud.
Seriously. I just got that phone call. Yeah, it's a two-story house. And we got that upstairs.
Are you somebody? Somebody spouting out of you?
My daughter's upstairs trying to get to sleep. Oh, she's too loud.
Okay.
Me being too loud, Stephen. How dare they? Anyway, I don't know. So you have, what did you say? You have Scottish and Irish.
Well, yeah, I.
Oh, the Isle of Man, you said, wasn't it?
Isle of Man, yeah. That's where my ancestors come out. I don't really know whether those people came from Ireland or Scotland. You know, I'd have to go over there and do some more research. But I guess there is a lot of Scottish on the one side. It goes back to the, at least the 1590s.
I don't know whether Robinson would be. I don't know.
Roberts.
I
think it was Mick Roberts. I think it was MC on the front there.
Well, if it's an MC in front of it, it could be Irish. Uh-huh. Right? Because when everybody went over to England, he had to drop the MC because he didn't want anybody to know they were Irish.
Right.
You know, so my name would be Man McFarrell. Uh-huh. Or Man O'Farrell.
Right.
But all the Irish dropped the Mac and the O because they didn't want anybody to know they were Irish.
And they did that over here in America, too.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it would have been Stephen Roberts or Stephen McRoberts. Stephen McRoberts sounds more Scottish than Irish. Uh-huh. Although I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe Laurie can help us out on that. I'm not too sure. But that's Stephen.
Yeah. I'd have to do some more research. I do want to go over there and meet people. Meet everyone in the group. Go to all three. Go to Scotland and Ireland. Just meet everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Why not? We Graham over here. I'm actually speaking to Graham. We had a few of the guys over here. And I was talking to Graham earlier on. I wanted to congratulate him on his new show. He has his own radio link now on Cornwall. I think it's Cornwall Independent Radio or something like that. I forget. And yeah, he's doing well. Graham Hart.
That's good.
Congratulate Graham Hart on that.
Yeah, that's good.
And he moved house and all. He just went in his new studio to be built. So everything's good there. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Everything's good. Yeah, I think you should come over, Stephen. When are you thinking? next Tuesday.
As soon as I can save the money. Lori, Lori asked you a question. She didn't quite hear it. She wants some clarification. Are you still in the chat there, Martin?
I don't know. I'm still here, but I'm that blind. I'm even wearing glasses, Stephen. I'm that feckin' blind.
She heard her name. She was off in the other room.
Oh, yeah.
Lori,
she's
what?
Like a puppy dog. She's like a puppy dog. Yeah, Lori, come on, come on.
Oh, goodness.
I didn't mean that, Stephen. I shouldn't have said that. Oh, fuck. I'm in a serious lot of trouble now. It's Halloween. We're having fun.
Anyways, Martin did ask the question, Lori. Apparently, there was an MC on the front of my ancestors' names one time. And also, apparently, some of my ancestors came from the Isle of Man. So he wanted to know whether that was Irish or Scottish, in your opinion. You're getting no Christmas bonus, Martin.
That's me, faked. I told you. No, what I said was, Stephen, there could have been a Stephen O. Roberts, or there could have been a Stephen Mac Roberts. So I'm not too sure on the, but it was definitely one or the other. It was definitely one or the other. Because you are a Celt, right? You are definitely a Celt. Yes. If you came from the Isle of Man, you're a Celt.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, sure. And, I've got the red hair to prove it.
And the big beard as well.
Uh-huh.
We could have put you on Braveheart for Jesus Christ and made a fortune.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, but, you're getting a lump of coal for Christmas, Martin.
I'm fecked. I knew that. I knew the minute I said it. It's one of them things that you say before you think about, you know. And the minute I said it, I said, oh, shit. Nah, I'm only joking, Stephen. If you could see me fingers now, me lorries, oh, lorries like this, look. I'm saying nothing, Stephen. Who's up after us?
Nobody is. There's still. I've got 2 hours to go. I'm supposed to be covering Kira's slot, so it's me.
Right, is Kira not up now?
No, she's still doing a lot of work for the FEMA. She works for FEMA, and they're still blasted with work for the three hurricanes that hit America here.
Would she be able to tell us about FEMA camps?
I doubt if she's privy to that information.
She's on the end of the scale kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, but information is it's a power pyramid scheme also. The people at the top have all the information, the people at the bottom don't, whether you work for the government.
That's always the way, isn't it?
Uh-huh, it sure is.
Well, what I'm going to do now, Stephen, and I was talking about, when I give you a story, seeing as it's Halloween, right? It is still Halloween here, Stephen, by the way. I was going with a young girl I actually said this story on American radio to a fella called Bert, I think, about 3 years ago. I think. I could be wrong because I'm getting Alzheimer's. But anyway, I was going with a young girl up in a place called Marion Park in Drogheda. And I used to go up these flight of steps every night to visit this young girl. And every night I come down the same flight of steps. Now, these steps, I think it was, say, 60, 70 steps. We were going to a high altitude because at the top of the steps, there was an old barracks there. It was called Millmount. And it was used during the rising in Ireland. But I'm not too sure, it was a bit like one of them Motello towers. So it could have been used even earlier by Napoleon, during the Napoleon Wars. I'm not too sure. But anyway, this was about 30 years ago, more. I think it was about 16, 17 years age, young lad, up the steps, and I visited this girl. And that night, I was coming back down the steps, and at that hour of the night, it was about 12, 1 o'clock in the evening and 1 o'clock in the night. And I seen this this guy standing directly in the middle of the steps. And it didn't cause me any alarm. You know, I thought he was coming up in the pub because there's a pub in the corner below, exactly at the bottom of the steps. So it didn't cause me any alarm. And there were small houses the whole way up the steps. And small houses the whole way up the steps on one side and a wall the other side. So it didn't really cause me any alarm. But the only thing that I was thinking to myself is, what am I going to say? Good morning, good night, how are you? You know, that's the only thing I was thinking to myself. So as I was getting closer to him, I noticed he was in uniform. He was in green uniform. And I said, Jesus, what the heck is this? And I kept walking down the steps. And when I got to the middle step, he was quite, actually, more or less in the middle of the steps. I put my head up and there was nobody there. And did I run? I'm not cutting you. Because I knew exactly what I seen. There was a guy in uniform standing there in the middle of steps, so forth. I ran. So the next evening came about, and this was my quickest way up to this girl. And I was walking up the steps, and I was thinking about what happened the previous night. And I was saying, what happened? Like, you know, what was the story and blah. And I stopped in the middle of steps, exactly where I seen this apparition in uniform. And you're not going to believe this. There was a plaque. There is still a plaque in the wall. And I remember this day. It says, I think it said John B. Daly shot in defense of his country in 1916 at this spot. And I can guarantee it shivers went down my spine.
Yeah.
And up the steps again. Seriously. That's a fact. That definitely happened to me. I seen a man in period uniform in the middle of the steps. And how can I explain this to you? Do you know when you're going down the steps? Think about this, guys. When you are walking down the steps, you ain't looking forward. You are looking at your steps. You're looking to see where your footing is.
Yes.
So you ain't looking. And you know what I mean? You're not looking, who's that? Blah, blah, blah. You're looking at where your footing is. But when I got down there, there was nobody there. And the next night I came up, which you're not looking at your footing because you're climbing upwards, I seen the plaque and that really sent shivers down my spine. Because at the top of the hill is a barracks. It used to be an old barracks from I think it was Napoleonic War as well. But it was definitely used, the First World War, Second World War. And it was definitely used by the uprising in 1916. And that plaque is still, I'm going to take a picture of that plaque and send it. I'm going to post it up. Definitely. Because I seen.
As long as you don't go there again and that soldier standing there again.
You won't get me there at that hour of night again. That's what I'm saying. But that happened. That's a fact. Now, do I believe in ghosts? I don't know. We had another issue here. My home here. I know it's Halloween and it's blah, 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 blah. But we were living in I still live in the same housing complex as for the last 30 years. But they discovered 20 years ago. But it was only the last 10, 12 years ago, they decided to take the asbestos out of the buildings because it was unsafe. And it was unsafe. But how they'd done it was, how can I explain this? They built up three or four houses. They bought up three or four houses, right? And so they take somebody out of the home and put them into one of them homes that they'd already cleaned out of asbestos until your home was clean with asbestos and so forth. You know what I mean? It went round the circle.
Sure.
And it was working perfect. It was working perfect. Well, but then, yes.
I would venture to say that the people that invented that stuff knew from the beginning that it was bad. You know, they've known for, I think, probably 150, 160 years that mercury was bad for people.
Mm. I think you're right, Steve. Yeah. I really do think you're right. I agree with you. But anyway, getting back. So eventually came to my turn. And there were some households left and they didn't get back into their own homes for about 6-7 months, which I wasn't happy about. So I went down to the offices, the builders and blah, blah, blah. I said, look, this is the fact, right? I want to be back in here. I'm going to give you 6 weeks. And if I'm not going to be back in here, me, my family will be, and me dog will be sleeping outside on the drive. That was the conditions I gave them. And sure enough, within 6-7 weeks, the house was done. It was rid of asbestos. But getting back to the house that they moved me into for the 6 or 7 weeks, right? I was sitting there one night, and I don't smoke now, but I was having a cigarette, and there was a glass ashtray on the table. And out of the corner of my eye, you know, if you're sitting and you're not really observing something, you might see something out of the corner of your eye. Well, out of the corner of my eye, I seen this ashtray move across the table I was using. And I looked at it and said nothing. I said, no, that didn't happen. So the night went on. The following night, probably the night after, maybe not after that, maybe a week later, I went and got myself a few beers, and it was on the same table. And the whole family was sitting in this room, and we could actually see one of my cans of beer move straight across the table in front of our eyes. Seriously, the whole family confirmed this now. Not just me, the whole family. And one of my daughters wanted to play with the spirit. I was thinking about it. She wanted to play with it. And I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think we play with it. So the next morning, I I was a biker. I can't ride any bikes now because I have a bad back. But at that time, only a couple of years, it's not that long ago, I got onto my bike. I went down to the nearest church. I'm not even religious, to tell you the truth. I'm not religious, to tell you the truth. And I was telling the local padre, and he said, yeah, give me an hour, I'll be up. And he said prayers all around the house and so forth. And that night, we were probably sitting comfortable, but it didn't work. Everything started moving again. There was cuddly rattling. But the most mysterious thing was my grandchild at the time was she just started walking. So I'm going to say she was 1 year of age. And it was a square room. And she walked across. I was the only person to see this, right? She walked across to the chair in the corner of the room. And I could see she was physically pushed out of the corner. I could see she was physically pushed out of the corner. And I said to myself, I better say nothing. Because if I do say anything, it's going to upset the kids and, you know, everybody else. So I said, I'll say nothing. And I kept that to myself. So we got the priest up again. He done the same again. And it was still the same. So eventually, we got our house back. So we eventually left that house that was presumably haunted. I'm not saying it was haunted, but presumably haunted. But the next couple that moved into that house, nothing would do me but to stop them coming up the street one day. And I asked them, it was a couple, and I asked himself, listen to me. So I've been down in the house and I stayed there for a couple of weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Is anything happening? Is anything strange happening in that house? And he said, it's funny you should say that. The kids won't sleep in the room up there. I said, what do you mean? The kids won't sleep in the front room because they keep on seeing shadows, strange shadows on the walls. And so I said, fuck yeah. And I was telling them what I had to do and so forth. And that was the end of it. But I met the person that was living in that house. I met the woman's grandson about 6 months after that, after all these events were closing. He was a barman. I met him. And I was telling him about the child, my grandchild walking into the corner, being forcibly removed from the corner. And he said, you know something, see, my grandmother always used to sit in that chair in the corner, and she didn't like anybody in that corner. And that really, put a shiver down my spine.
Yeah, I bet it would.
So that's anyway. I've loads more, but it's Halloween, and hope you guys are getting scary. Gonna meet the wife. It's fucking scary enough. Anyway, so that's the story.
Well, I guess if you're all done there, Martin. Glad to have you on.
Thank you on this Halloween evening. And yes, I enjoyed the convo. And I'll say hello to Ian again. And geez, Elmont in there now. John McCann, bollocks. You've Laurie in there. You've Laurie, which I want to talk to in a minute. Paddy Bronson. Who's them two guys, Stephen? Keep on hanging in there. I don't know who they are.
Ian? Well, me and you?
Me and you, by the way.
Me and you? Okay.
Stephen, look, thanks very much for taking me on this evening. Well, we didn't take you on. Yeah, we went through a few things, and it's always good to talk with yourself, Stephen.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is what it is, Stephen. Okay. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you, Martin.
Thanks, Stephen.
And have a good night.
You too.
Okay. I'm going to put a song on, everyone, and I still have an hour and 45 minutes left. Still have some material to do, so be right back, everyone. I'm going to finish off the podcast that I started earlier. It's a big new Brzezinski. It's interesting. Interesting read. I have the book and the audio file, so I'll continue on with that. And thank you, Martin, for coming on. Be right back.